Wendy, can I have that handheld microphone?
Good afternoon, New Vine family. You're all ready for this afternoon? Ready to go out? Yeah. It'll be really inappropriate to preach a long message today. So I'm going to try to just give a short reflection before we head out. We're going to really bring just the Lord's joy into this neighborhood today. Amen? So when you go out, just enjoy, smile, greet one another, and even take this opportunity to bless all those that are coming. If you were here 2 weeks ago, we looked at where this title, the word Christian, actually came from. It actually happens in Acts chapter 11. I briefly talked about how this name actually came about. The word Christian actually means to bear the name Christ. So we're all those people who bear the name of Christ. But I mentioned that if you look at Acts chapter 11, that name was not something that people came up with internally. Actually, those believers, the early church believers, the Jews and the Gentiles who came to believe in Jesus, their life and their belief was so radical, so crazy, so different from the rest of the world, that actually it was the people of Antioch that actually came up with this title called Christian. So it's not something that we invented or we gave ourselves as believers, but it's the world that actually had to come up with this name, Christians. So I briefly mentioned that the way they use this title is it's not like a title of honor. It's not because they were some special people. It's almost like, you know, when you look around today, people actually use the term in the same way. You know, those Christians, those so-and-so. Oftentimes they use that expression because their way of life and their way of thinking is so unique and so different from the rest of the world. So the challenge that I really brought to all of us was whether we live our lives today in such a radically different way that people outside of the church building would actually look at us the same way. And they may even have to come up with a brand new title, you know, those New Viners. Or those people who go to New Vine. Those people who gather together on Sunday at Mountain View Academy. They're just so radically different. So that's how this name was actually given to the early believers. So I mentioned to you that amongst the Christians, they actually did not use that word Christians. If you look at the church history, that name was not used until actually much later, in the probably after the first century. And I began to go through some of the names that Christians actually used for themselves. It's the name that they call themselves. And we only had a chance to look at the first one. I'll give you a prize if you actually remember what this name was. I'll give you a nice piece of meat that is prepared to be served. You'll be the first one to go. Do you remember what those believers were called in those days? I'm sorry, I gave away the answers. Christians. Those Christians, actually, there were four names in the book of Acts, and the first title that was given, so I get to go first and have the piece of meat. The first title that was given to the Christians was believers. And I talked about how we actually reduce that name, believers, to just a mere intellectual understanding or intellectual acknowledgement. And we had a chance to actually look at what that word believing means. Do you remember what it really means to believe? Oftentimes, our idea of believing is, if I were to tell you today that I could bench press 300 pounds, could you believe it? No? If I told you that I could actually make 10 consecutive three-point shots, would you believe it? Okay. What about five? What about one? Yes, okay. You could probably believe that I could make at least one three-point shot from, outside the box. I don't actually play basketball, so I'm not even sure if I could make one. But let's say you believed it, right? Does that actually make any kind of impact upon your life? The fact that I can make a three-point shot. And the fact that you could actually believe me. If some of you just me being a pastor, you just decided to believe that I could bench press 300 pounds. How will that actually impact your life? Will that change the way you live? Probably not. Will that change the way you think? Probably not. So this is what I'm talking about. We can say that we believe, but if it's just a mere intellectual acceptance of what I say or who I am, that will not really change the way you live your life. The kind of belief, when it says that those believers in the early church, the word to believe was not actually just to accept or believe in the fact, but it is actually trusting. It's a matter of trust. Whether you could actually trust in somebody, entrust your life, or entrust your future into somebody's hand. That was really the meaning of believing. So if you really believe that I could bench press 300 pounds, and if that you really want to take that into practice or make it impactful in your life, you could probably ask me to come and move your furniture or help you move. You know, that could be one way to change or impact your life. But it is in the same way that believing in Jesus is not just believing in the fact that he lived and he died and whatever he did. If it's not really making an impact upon your life in a significant way, it's not a real faith. So that's what we looked at. And those Christians, early Christians, were known as believers. Those people who really trusted in Jesus. That's the name that we should be known by in this community, in this neighborhood, in this society today. So that's the first title. Today, I'm going to introduce to you the second title. Actually, this is a very, very important one. It also starts with B. Any guess what that might be, that title? Actually, this title appears in the book of Acts alone over 50 times. I told you, the word Christian only appears in the book of Acts once. Probably twice in the entire New Testament. But this title, by which all the Christians were known, appears in the book of Acts over 50 times. This is the very title that Jesus gave to his disciples. Jesus said, "Do not be called a rabbi or teacher. You only have one teacher, one master, but you are all." And do you remember what comes after? "You are all brethren." Say to one another, "You're my brethren." You're my brother, or you're my sister. Can you look into each other's eyes and say that? Please practice that. Now, this is a very, very important title, and I think this is so appropriate for us today as we celebrate, as we go out and engage with our neighbors, and we bless this neighborhood. We need to understand that we, as Christians, we as those people who come to worship every Sunday here at New Vine, we are brethren. And that's the title that Jesus wanted to really give to his disciples, his followers. This word actually carries a very, very special meaning. Once again, I'm going to ask you to look at one another just for a moment and think about that person. What are your thoughts towards that person sitting next to you? Be honest. If they're really your brother or sister, how do you feel about that person? Huh? You feel good? You feel close? You feel connected? Do you feel any kind of obligation or even loyalty to one another? You probably, if you get to know the person sitting next to you and if you get to spend some time, you could probably come up with 100 different reasons or at least dozen reasons why that person and you cannot be a brother or sister. Because you don't have the same mother. You don't have the same father. You don't share the same kind of interest or common hobbies. You guys are wired very, very differently. How is it possible that a group of people like us, Koreans, Chinese, Vietnamese, Caucasians, and Italians, Mexicans, and there are so many different kinds of people from different walks of life, how can we consider ourselves as brethren? How is it possible? It's only possible because we have the same Heavenly Father. By the virtue of being related to the Father, and by the virtue of being related to our brother Jesus, who is the firstborn of all of us, automatically we become brethren. And that's a precious name that we have to really rediscover and re-embrace. If God is really our Father, and if Christ is our brother, do you know that our relationship transcends all other relationships, including your earthly allegiance to your own family? Do you remember what Jesus said about who's his mother and father, who's his brother? It's not the earthly related. Jesus even went on to say that unless you're willing to hate your own mother, your father. Now, that's a really difficult teaching, because how can you hate your own father, mother, brother, sister? Jesus is not actually saying that you should actually hate your own family members. What he's teaching us is that in light of your relationship to me, everything else, even your noblest, even your highest and your greatest love that you can show to your own family member or your friends, is a hatred compared to the way he has loved us. That's the kind of love that he brings us into. So, as you look at one another today, as you relate to one another, as we go out into the park, and as we show what it means to be brethren to this neighborhood and to this community, it is this love, this family love that God brought us into and God created us. This is a bond that cannot be broken. You better get used to one another, because you're going to be spending the rest of eternity with Jesus and with one another. Do you like that idea, or do you dread the idea? In fact, I shared this story in the morning in our San Jose church. I was actually preaching on heaven, and I remember meeting a couple. There was an old couple who used to come to church every Sunday faithfully, and the husband is a believer. He was baptized, but the wife, she would come to church every Sunday, and she would never acknowledge that she's a believer or she's a Christian. She would refuse to get baptized. So one day, just out of curiosity, I asked her, "You act like a Christian and you come to church every Sunday, but why will you ever not be baptized?" And you know what's really interesting is this is what she said. She said, "I love Jesus. I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to go to heaven." She said, "If my husband is going to be there, I don't want to spend the rest of my eternity with this person again." Now, that's pretty scary, right? Do you know what makes heaven such a beautiful place? It's not the location, it's not the place, it's actually the people that make up heaven. And that's us. You better get used to really loving one another and really believing that you're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is the only way. That's the real practice of what is actually coming for the rest of eternity. This is one of the reasons why Christianity, there are a lot of people who will say that you can be a Christian on your own. Christianity and your Christian faith is between you and God. It is not. If you look at the Bible, that's not what Jesus taught. It can only be practiced in community. That's why church is important. It's a family that God wanted to create. When we planted this church, New Vine, it is a family that was on God's heart. You know, the difficult reality, think about this. If you can sum up everything that Jesus taught, all of the Bible, all of the commandments, Jesus actually summarized into basically two commands, right? One is to love God. And then the second commandment, the greatest commandment, is to love one another. That's it. That's enough. Jesus said, if you love one another, the world will actually come to know that you are my disciples, that you will belong. That is the greatest evangelistic strategy. Remember how the early church actually reached so many people? There were thousands of people that were coming to Christ. It wasn't some kind of clever evangelistic strategy or evangelism explosion program. It wasn't the way the church actually devised their plan to reach the neighborhood. You know what it was? It was a way they loved one another. It was so unique and so attractive. They were selling their possessions, helping one another in such a way that there was no one who was in need in the church community, in the family. So that is really how God wants to build his family. That just really brings us to this one conclusion. You have no option not to love the person sitting next to you. This is really the greatest, you know, it is what brings the greatest pleasure to the Lord. And as a father of four children, do you know what brings the greatest joy and delight to my heart? The greatest joy of the father. If you have a single child, you may not know this, but as a father of four children, it's not when they bring great report card or they've done something great. To me, it is when I see my children love one another, care for one another, bear each other's burden. There's no greater joy as a father than to see my children love one another. You know what breaks my heart the most? You know what brings the greatest trouble or sadness or sorrow? Again, it's not when my kids don't do well in school or they're having a hard time. It is when I see my kids fighting against each other, bickering against each other, not loving one another. That breaks my heart. God probably feels the same way. You know, oftentimes I've been unreasonable with my kids, and one time I was trying to discipline one of my daughters, and then the other one started arguing with me. Do you know what she was trying to do? She was trying to defend the other one, why she was acting that way and why I was being unreasonable. So that was kind of painful as a father, that these children are kind of challenging my authority as a father. But deep down in my spirit, you know what I was really sensing at that moment? It was this deep joy. Wow, they really care for each other. They'll stand up for one another. Imagine if you do that before God. Love covers multitude of sin. That's what it says in the Bible. Even when we are in sin and we're displeasing to God, if we practice, we know how to love one another, that will cover multitude of sin. I think that's a beautiful passage and what church should really be demonstrating and displaying to this world. We're loved and we love one another not because we're perfect. Is there anyone who is perfect here? Anyone who is perfectly lovable in this room? No. Oftentimes, we mistake love with like. Love is a choice, you know that, right? Love is what you choose to do. Like is actually a preference. When people say, I love ice cream, you know what they're saying? They're saying, I like ice cream. It's my preference. But love is something that you choose to do regardless of what that person is like. That's how marriage works. That's how parenting works. That's how this community works. So today, you know what God's heart is for the New Vine family when we go out there? It is to show to the world, demonstrate to the world that we're bound by this love because of Christ. I'll say this again. Today we have a very special dinner prepared by Nate. It's a home barbecue, smoked. It's going to be good food. But do not go out there and fight for food. Please don't do that, okay? Show to them how we love each other when we get out there. Show to our neighbors. Show to the people that are coming. Serve one another. That will bring the greatest delight and pleasure to the Lord. Say to one another, you are my brother, you're my sister, I love you, I'm committed to you. Worship team, can you come back and close us? Let's stand together. Why don't we join our hands? Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. What makes this day so beautiful is not the weather, it's not the food, it's not the fun that we're going to have outside. But Father, there's so much love that's been poured into this place. Each one of us bears this sacrificial love that Christ has poured out. And when we combine all that love, Father, we know that we can change this neighborhood, we can change this world through the way we love one another. This is what you promised to us. So remind us this afternoon that we are bound by this unbreakable, familial love that was part of your covenant with us. That this New Vine Church will know what it means and how to love one another in a way that the people outside will begin to wonder and scratch their head, nod their head, and wonder why we're so full of such love. May this be our worship. May this be the way that we honor you as our Father. We honor you as our Lord, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.